Amen. All right, so Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. And we've been going through Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. I would encourage you, the Sunday morning messages and the Sunday night messages are always on the website. If you have not heard this, really, we really believe that God is teaching us how to build the church by his design. So if you have not been able to be here, I would encourage you to listen to the messages so that you can just hear where God is and what God is speaking to us right now at this church and what he is speaking to us. And so we're going to continue on with that. Rick is going to finish that up and kind of close up the series and just trust that God is going to speak to all of us and teach us about unity as we're in the last service of the month next week, because we're just going to be closing up that series. And we knew that it was led of the Lord, that it was God's will that we would preach on this and that we just learn this together as a church. So starting in verse 14, it says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. You can be seated. Okay, we're going to talk about this verse a lot more, but I want us first to read a couple other verses. Look in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. A lot of you know this is one of my favorite verses that God has really used, especially since we started pastoring, just because I'm so aware of my dependence on him, of my need for him, of my need for his wisdom. This scripture, starting in verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given. Notice that. It will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. Notice, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Does that sound familiar? Driven and tossed to and fro, carried about. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Faith is a very big deal to God. In fact, Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we cannot come to God without faith. If my child was constantly asking me questions, looking at me, and I knew that they didn't believe that I was going to answer them, I would stop answering. Because why am I going to give you answers if you're not going to believe me anyway? If every time I give you an answer, you're going to look right back at me and ignore what I just said to you, why am I going to keep talking? In fact, I've been in conversations where I can tell the other person is not listening. I just stop talking. I'm like, you know, this is kind of pointless for me to keep talking. And so it's important that we understand God is very clear about certain things. And you know, the best thing that you can do is take it very literally. When it says that let not that man think he will receive anything from the Lord, he is a double-minded man and stable. Unstable. Notice it says tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Okay, we're going to take a light break for a second here. Now, how many of you are my age and remember these? Okay, these were all the rage. This is my Cabbage Patch doll. She is old. Okay, her arm is coming off, but she's really, really old. Okay, I need a volunteer. Okay, Josiah, come on up here. Since Michael did such a great job playing drums, I'll let Josiah help me. Okay, now come stand right up here. Now, the reason I am doing this is because they say, and it is true, a picture is worth 1,000 words. So when you see a picture, it will stick in your mind. And prayerfully, the truth that goes with the picture will stick in your mind. Okay, so bear with me. Now, the scripture says, Ephesians 4, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. Catch. Toss it back. Catch. Okay, some of us, this is how we feel in our head. Like God starts speaking to us and all of a sudden our mind is going everywhere. We are carried about with every wind of doctrine. Like we're like, oh, I felt that God told me to do this, but now I'm so confused. I am saying this from experience because I have been there multiple times. Okay. Or you'll start studying and you're like, oh, God is telling me to love, but then I'm struggling with this, or God is telling me this and I'm feeling this, or, you know, all of these different things. But often this is what happens in our mind. And I want you to remember this picture. Thank you. 'Cause it says we should no, I don't want to hold her by her neck. We should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about. That word, so there's two things here. First, tossed to and fro. Second, carried about with every wind of doctrine. Look, if we do not get some things settled in our heart, we will constantly be flitting. Every time something new comes, we'll go, oh, wait, wait, maybe what I thought was wrong before. You have got to get a foundation set in your mind based on what the Bible says. You need to know what you believe and why you believe it. And it's important that we get that foundation set, because otherwise you are going to be tossed to and fro. And then, you know, and of course, back in these days, these people didn't have this. This is why, look, we are going to be held more responsible, I believe, because we have more access to the truth. There is no excuse for us not to know what the Bible says. No excuse. So if we don't know what it says, though, and we hear some new doctrine, then we're like, all of a sudden, what we thought before, now it's like a pinball machine. It's going back and forth because we don't really understand what God is saying, what his word is saying. The Bible says the things of God are spiritually discerned. We have to learn it by studying and by the word and by God himself revealing it to us. Look in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. And cover her back. Okay, this is Paul talking to the Corinthian church. He said, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. Now, this is the same word in Ephesians 4, 14, when it says by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. This is the same word that's used here in the Greek. As the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. Notice, so your minds may be corrupted. Notice that word. From the simplicity that is in Christ. I have said this before, but do you know it is very, very important. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It is very important that we study the word of God, that we rightly divide it, that we know what it says. But we study the word. Sometimes we can get so busy studying all this other stuff that is not the word. Doctrine and all these questions that aren't answered, and we try to figure out all this stuff. You can get out so deep that you will drown in all of that. Spend your time studying what the word of God already says, not trying to figure out what it doesn't. Look, God did not answer all the questions out there. If he did, the world could not contain the books. There is so much knowledge and so much wisdom in God. He cannot share it all with us. And so some of the questions, you are going to just have to accept that you might not know the answer until you get to heaven. Because the simplicity that is in Christ. Paul said, I will preach Christ and him crucified. When we get away from the basics, and many times what I've seen happen with people is they get so far out here on the outskirts that they lose sight of the basics. They lose sight of the most important things. So be careful with that. The simplicity. So much of our confusion, and I want to connect these first two verses real quick. So much of the confusion that we feel goes back to a lack of faith. Because we beg God for wisdom, but we don't believe that he'll give it to us. And so then we get confused. What am I going to do? God, you said you would help me. And I had a situation yesterday that I had to make a decision right, like soon. And I'm going to tell you this, and I've said this a lot the last few weeks, but if you do not know how to hear the voice of God and you are not actively seeking to learn, then you're going to miss it. Because Christianity is not meant to be lived on a week by week basis. It's meant to be lived on a second by second basis. It's not meant to be lived from Sunday to Sunday. It's meant to be lived from this second to that second to the next second to the next second. Every minute, every second, listening to God. And so listen, learning to hear the voice of God in the beginning, I'm going to be honest, can be confusing. Because all of a sudden, decisions that you were fine making before, all of a sudden you're like, oh, now I don't know what you're saying to me, God. That is a part of the process. But faith is a big part of not being like that baby doll, tossed around. Because when I have asked God for wisdom and I haven't heard anything yet, you know what I have to do? I have to go, God, you said that if I lacked wisdom, I could ask you and you would give it to me. So I am going to trust that you are going to speak to me. And sometimes we need to set time aside and we need to go, God, I am not leaving this place. I had a situation like that that I needed to answer, and I had already been seeking God about it, and I closed myself in my bathroom door, in my bathroom, and turned the light off so I wouldn't be distracted. And I said, God, I am not leaving here until you tell me what to do. And all of a sudden, the Lord started speaking. And so it was like a conversation happened in my head, and I knew exactly what to say. Listen, we have got to give ourselves time alone with God to listen to him, and we have got to read the word. If you never read what he has already spoken, why do you think he's going to speak something new? If you don't care about what he's already said, he has spoken so much. And most of the time, the way that God speaks to me is he brings a scripture to my mind, and I'll go and I'll look it up, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, I didn't even know that was there. Look, none of us are too busy to have time for God. If we are, then we need to be honest about who really what's first in our lives. Life is busy. I get it. There is no excuse for being too busy for the God that created us. And so if you want to hear God's voice more, I will tell you the secret. Read his word. And read it not like, I got to read because that lady at church told me I have to read. Or, okay, God, you got 10 minutes. How many of you would like to sit down and talk to somebody if they went, all right, you got 10 minutes. 8. It's been 4 minutes and it feels like it's been 35. How much longer is this going to be? But that's how we approach our time with God sometimes. Look, God created relationships. He has feelings. If we go into our prayer time with that, he knows it. So I'm going to tell you, if you go into it with that, you need to ask him to forgive you. You need to say, God, I am sorry, because you are so worthy of this time. You are way more worthy than television. You're more worthy than food. You're more worthy than Facebook or Instagram or text messaging. All of that, God, you are more worthy. And if we will go into that and we'll begin to read, listen, learning to hear the voice of God, the more of this, and we're going to talk about this later, the more of this that you get into your heart and spirit, the more that it will come out. It will come out of your mouth. It will come out in your thoughts. It will come out in your actions, because this word is living. We don't just read it. It reads us. And it will teach us, because the Holy Spirit will illuminate things to us. But we have got to get serious about spending time with God. That word says, from the simplicity of Christ. When we stop walking in faith, when we leave the simplicity that is in Christ, we become tossed to and fro. We become confused trying to figure it out on our own. Joyce Meyer, in her book, Battlefield of the Mind, she says many times confusion comes when our spirit is saying one thing, but our head doesn't understand it. So there's confusion between our spirit and our head, because the Lord is speaking something, but our head doesn't want to hear it, or it doesn't make sense, or it doesn't seem like the right thing that we would do, or it's not the wise thing by physical standards or by intellectual standards. And so all of a sudden, confusion begins to fill us. Because why? Because there's a war going on, because we're being tossed between our spirit and our mind, because the Holy Spirit is speaking to our spirit, but our mind is going, no, you can't do that. That can't be God. You don't want to do that. Like, surely God's not asking you to give that up. Surely God's not asking you to do that. And all of a sudden there's a war and we are tossed to and fro. So what do? In that moment, we still ourselves and we go back to faith. John 10 says, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. If you will begin to listen for his voice, and if you will begin to read his word, you will begin to know his voice. And when you get confused, the only other thing I want to share, because this is something that God's been teaching me. Sometimes God begins to teach us something very strongly, but we are, my mom has always said, we are, and I always picture it like a grandfather clock. We are like a pendulum. God teaches us about grace and we swing way over here and we think that every situation requires grace and that nobody should ever be judgmental or nobody should ever tell people the truth. They should just speak grace all the time. And then God shows you a scripture about judgment. What he's trying to do is bring balance. But usually what happens is we go way over here. And then all we can see is judgment all the time. And we become critical of everybody. And then God has to bring another scripture to balance us. Listen, sometimes what God will do is God will give you two scriptures. Like for me lately, he was speaking on this one thing. And then there was a scripture that I felt like the Lord gave me, but it was completely on the other side. And I was like, okay, now I'm confused. What exactly are you saying to me? You know what you can do? You can take it to prayer. That's what I did. I said, okay, Lord, show me what you're saying here. Because God, I want you to show me. And God, if there is any flesh in the way from keeping me from hearing what you are trying to teach me, then God, move it out of the way. And when you begin to do that, many times what happens is God is showing you the balance of his character. He wants to balance our character, but he does that often by speaking to us through the word. And so we have to go back to faith, to the simplicity that is in Christ. Otherwise, we will be tossed. We will be an unstable person in all our ways. And we will wonder why we don't have wisdom. And God is going, I already told you why you don't have wisdom. You're unstable because you refuse to believe that I'll do what I told you I would do. We have to go back to faith. And that sounds too easy. And it sounds like we're putting it too much on God. Well, you know what? The longer that you walk with God, the more you will realize how much you have to put it back on God. How much you have to go back to God and go, God, I need you. I'm just going to have to believe that your word is true. I'm just going to have to believe that if you said you would give me wisdom, that you will. And God, I'll just wait. If you haven't spoken to me yet, maybe it's because I'm not supposed to move yet. And there is a rest there. When we stop looking to him for wisdom and understanding, we begin to try to figure it out on our own wisdom. And that's a dangerous thing. Look in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. And this was Paul talking. And he went through all of the reasons why physically he, you know, had accolades. He said, let me find it. He said, if anyone else, I might have started in the middle. Where does it start? Okay, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Isn't it interesting? Paul was a Pharisee and he persecuted. Most of the problems that Jesus had were with religious people, not sinners. Concerning the righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Supreme authority is what Lord means. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Go back to that verse for a minute. If you are going to walk with Jesus, I'm going to tell you now, you got to be prepared to lose some things. Because as God sees and as God reveals idols or things in your life that need to be cut off, he will expect you to cut them off. He will expect you to let go of them. And either you will suffer loss from him by him cutting things off, or you will suffer loss in front of him. Okay, let's go on. Verse 9. And be found in him. Notice this is Paul speaking. I'm amazed that there are a lot of Christians that seem like they have more righteousness than Paul, because they feel very righteous in themselves. And yet he said, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. He realized he didn't have his own. None of us have our own. We have righteousness by faith in Jesus. I have righteousness by faith, not because of who I am, not because I'm a pastor's daughter, not because I was raised in the church. I have righteousness by faith in what Jesus did, the same as you can. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, if God is going to raise us from the dead to walk in newness of life, we have to first die to the flesh. Verse 12, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also has laid hold of me. I press on. I do not count myself to have apprehended. There is no place in the Christian life where we get to stop, where we get to go, you know what? I have fought. I am good. Nowhere in the Christian life. We are to be pressing on. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. upward call of God, we will spend an eternity in either heaven or hell. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said to me, well, you know, do you think that, they asked me, do you think, like they were kind of actually starting to think, wait, do you think that I could go to hell? I said, tell me, what about your life shows that Jesus is Lord of your life? Because if he is Lord, then your actions, your thoughts, your mentalities, your words, all of that should be becoming more and more looking like Jesus. And the areas that aren't, we need to be very quick to repent of them, not excuse them. Verse 15, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. Notice this part because this is important. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Some of you, God is going to reveal even this to you. He's going to reveal some things in a couple of minutes here. God can and will reveal things to you. If there are things that need understanding on your part, if there are deeper understandings of him or scriptures that you need, if you will study, if you will be faithful to be in God's house, like the Bible says, we're supposed to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. This was not my idea. This was not pastor's idea. This was God's idea, that we would be together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 4:12, he will reveal, but I'm going to show you how. I have these swords. Of course, they're not really a good example because they're not sharp at all, but it's a good visual. So we bought these when we were in Okinawa, Japan, when Rick was a Marine. And the Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. Notice this part. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God reveals deep things within us. It divides between our soul and our spirit. It divides between the soulish things in our lives that don't line up with God. It says it divides between joints and marrow. Is a discerner. That word means relating to judging, skilled in judging. God is skilled in judging the thoughts and intents of our heart. Notice it doesn't say the thoughts of the mind. It says the thoughts and intents of the heart. Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Because our issues go a lot deeper than just our thoughts. They go deep into our heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you can say all day long, well, I don't mean to talk like that. You need to deal with the root of the issue. If you have a problem with your mouth, there's a problem in your heart somewhere. You need to let God deal with the heart issue. Then your mouth issue will that'll correct itself. Many of the problems that we have go down to a deeper issue in our heart. Notice verse 13. This is a serious verse. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Naked and open. When God exposes things, it feels like we are naked and open. And sometimes in church, it feels so open. You're like, everybody in this place must know my sin. Because it feels so raw and so exposed. You think everybody must be looking at you to judge your sin. Because that's how it feels. But they're not. Because they're dealing with the sin that God is revealing in their hearts. Look, it says all things are naked and open to the eyes of him. And so some people wonder, man, every time I go into church, I feel like I'm being judged. You know why that is? Because we're reading the word of God and it is judging your heart. So you can walk out and complain at all those people that judge you in the church, or you can be honest that the word of God is judging you so that you won't be judged on judgment day. You can be judged now or you can be judged then. Now you can do something about it. Then you can't do anything about it. It is done. There is no more excuses. There is no more apologies. It is done. But right now, when we are laid naked and open and our heart feels like God has just taken his sword and cut it wide open, he does that because he loves us, because he wants to reveal. Look, if I love my children, I say to them many times, because I love them, if you do that, this is what's going to happen. When I warn them, it's not because I'm mean and I'm trying to be on a power trip. I am making very clear. I want you to understand. I'm pointing this sword at y'all. I said, I'm being very clear to my children. If you do that again, you will get a spanking. The reason I'm doing that is simply because I don't want to spank them. I don't want to spank them. I want them to understand completely where the consequences are so that they will not go there. Some of you think that God is showing you your sin because he's mad at you. Yes, the Bible says he's angry with the wicked every day, but he shows us our sin so that we can deal with it. If he didn't care, he'd be like, psh. Like the people that you don't care about, you don't try to deal with their sin. You're just like, you know what? They're going to run themselves into the ground anyway. They're going to deal with their own selves anyway. It's the people that we care about that we try to warn. That's why God lays our sin open and naked when we come into church, so that we can deal, because he sees the root of it, so that we can take care of it. Usually the root goes deep into our heart. Many times the outward sin we're struggling with is a result of an inward root that needs to be pulled out. God will expose it, but how we respond is crucial. Proverbs 28:13, I quoted this one earlier. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Many times God will reveal this through a prophecy in the church. He will reveal it through things that people say when they quote a scripture, when they respond. God, if God leads you, like even in Sunday school, sometimes people can speak out things that are led of the Holy Spirit. A teacher can speak and it can be prophetic. A preacher can speak and it can be prophetic. When God exposes things, look in 1 Corinthians 14:24 through 25. It says, but if all prophesy and there come in one that doesn't believe, or one unlearned. This is interesting. Do you know what unlearned means? The very first definition is a private person. I was like, that's interesting. Now it says actually a private person as opposed to a magistrate, a ruler, or a king. So just like a common person. But if you look at the root, it says pertaining to self. So if we come in unlearned, private, pertaining to self. It says he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. Now notice the response here. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down in his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. When God begins to expose things, we always have a choice. Many times, when God begins to show things in the prophetic and we realize, wow, God really does see me as I am. We have three choices. We're going to look at two real quick. Number one is blame. Often people cover their sin up as they're blaming somebody else. We see it in the garden. Eve blamed Adam, or Adam blamed Eve, Eve blamed the serpent. That's the easiest thing to do, is to blame somebody else. Sometimes God shows us roots in our lives. And if we aren't honest and let him remove those things from our lives, we will grow hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, the Bible says. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is very deceitful. That's why it's so easy to point the finger when we're in sin, to cover it up, to blame somebody else. Because sin in its very nature comes from Satan, who is the father of lies. So it is deceitful. Sin is deceitful in its very nature. That's why you can see it in a child. You walk up to them and they're doing something. What do they do? Do they think that you can't see you? Then put their hand behind their back. But that's what we do with God. He is way above us. He sees the whole thing anyway, but it is by nature deceitful. That's why we try to think that we can cover it up. Out of the abundance of our heart, though, God desires, the reason that he exposes things in our lives is because he wants to show us not only the problem, but the root, so that we can deal with the root. Look, if you'll put up that picture, there's a picture that they're going to show you. This is actually a tree that is growing in my mom's yard. And if you'll notice down here, there's this whole other tree growing on the side of the tree. Now, do you see how the tree up here is not very healthy? The Lord started showing me a picture of what's going on. This, if you go by my mom's house, you can see it better than in the picture. But this part of the tree is very vibrant and very healthy. Now, it's in completely the wrong spot. And it's growing where it should not be growing, in a way that it should not be growing. And it is pulling the nutrients from where the nutrients are supposed to go. And it's building its own tree right here. And so if you actually put up the next one. The next one is an up-close picture. If you can't really see it. But all of this dark part right here. All of this part right here is like a root that is about this big around that has grown on the side of the tree. Now, some of the roots are deep down in our hearts. And some of them, you can see them on the outside. Like, God will show you there are things on our lives that are growing, and we are growing in ways that we should not be growing. Or we're growing in things that God is not calling us to grow in. And so mom said a month ago, she cut all of those branches off. Guess what? A month later, nothing has changed. You know why? Because she could not, she wasn't strong enough with her shears to cut that whole root off of the tree. So all she did was cut off the branches. Many times that's what we do. We just cut off one part of it, and then we cover it back over and say, God, but see, I'm doing better in this area. And God, I'm doing this for you. I know that I'm not doing what you told me to, but I'm doing this. And so the problem is, it's just going to grow right back. Because if the root is not dealt with, the same problem is going to grow again. Sometimes when we don't go down far enough, the same problem will come right back. We can grow in the wrong ways. We can grow in pride instead of humility. We can grow in confidence instead of dependence. We need to acknowledge the roots of sin in our lives and respond in humble repentance. Look in Matthew chapter 3, verse 7 through 10. The Lord kept bringing this scripture to my mind when I was studying, and so I finally looked it up. And this is when the Pharisees were coming to John the Baptist. It says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Notice he didn't say, the Pharisees are here. I'm so glad that you guys came. He saw through their action to what needed to actually take place. And he called it what it was. He said, brood of vipers. Go back to that. Brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Look in verse 8. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Look, it doesn't matter how healthy we look on the outside. If we are growing in the wrong way, we have a problem. And it will take nutrients and things from where we're supposed to be focused. And God is the one who will reveal that to us. Whoever covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy, the Bible says. You know that word cover means to plump. To fill up hollows. It made me think because, you know, I'm 40 now. So it made me think most of the like under eye stuff, what does it do? It plumps. It plumps the lines so that you don't see them. So it's all so smooth, you know, like when you were 25, like all the people on the Olive Ole commercials, you know. We all know those women are not old. Give me a break. They always use someone who doesn't have any wrinkles. We all know you don't have any wrinkles. It doesn't have nothing to do with Olive Ole, you know. But that's what it's plump, okay? It says whoever covers, often that's what we do. We just plump up. We can't do that. We cannot cover our sin because God sees all and knows all. He knows the roots that are in our lives, and we cannot cover back up a root that he has shown us and try to do enough good things to make him forget about it. He requires obedience. John told the Pharisees, bring forth obedience. You know that word, bring forth? It is, in the Greek, there is a tense that is continuous present tense. We don't have it in English. But if you look things up in the Greek, it'll say a prolonged form of this verb. And this means that whenever that word was used, it meant you are to continue to do these things. It's not a one-time deal. And that word that he used, bring forth, to continually make or do things worthy of repentance. There is no point in our Christian life until we reach heaven that we don't need to continually be bringing forth fruits worthy of repentance. Because the closer that we get to Jesus, his light will shine so that we can look more like him. His light will reveal things in our lives. But we don't get to cover it back up and think that we can continue to please God, because that is arrogance at its best. That's what Saul did in 1 Samuel 15. And we studied this a couple of Wednesday nights ago, that God gave me a message about this. But Saul obeyed partially, and then he came and said he had done God's will. Then he blamed the people for what he did. But this is what God said through Samuel to Saul. Look in 1 Samuel 15, 22 through 23. It says, "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" The truth is, God wants us to worship him. He wants us to praise him. He wants us to come to church. But he doesn't want us to be phony. He wants us to be honest about where we are. And when he calls us to repentance, he doesn't want us to cover it up and then come in and pretend like everything is fine, because he knows. And here, Saul told him, "But we're going to do sacrifice. The people saved all the best sheep because we're going to do sacrifice to God. Our sin does not please God, even if we bring it in praise. Even if we walk into the church with sin that God has revealed to us that we have covered up, and then we praise God, God is not pleased with that. He wants us to repent. It says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed, to listen, than the fat of rams." In other words, back in those days, that's what people did. They offered sacrifices to worship and praise God, to honor and worship him. They brought sacrifices. And God said, listening to me and obeying me is a lot better than that. Notice verse 23, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Rebellion is like witchcraft. "And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." God said to Saul, "Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king." It is a dangerous level of arrogance to think that we can cover up something that God exposes and continue in the same relationship with him. Now, I'm not talking about when something, God exposes something and you repent on your face before God and then you fall into it again. That's different. Because if you are repenting every time that he's showing it to you, then you are going to come out of that. I mean, sometimes we struggle with something and we come and we fall into something. But listen, that should not be a continual pattern in our lives. Because when we get enough fear of God, we will go, "Yes, my body craves this," or "Yes, I want to do this," or "Yes, I feel like saying that, but God, I'm afraid of you. And I'm afraid of what will happen to me if I keep sinning." And when we get the fear of God, that will keep us from sin. When we don't have the fear of God is when sin becomes easy. So I want to close up with this, Ephesians 4:15, and we're only going to spend like 2 or 3 minutes on this, but it's important. This is the last part of this verse, Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things, even the head, Christ. Speaking the truth in love can be easily defined. Well, how can you define speaking the truth in love? John 17:17 says, "Sanctify me by your truth. Your word is truth." If we are speaking his word, then we are speaking truth. If we are full of his word, then we will be speaking truth, because his word will be in us and it will come out of us. If we are not full of him, then our truth might not look like his truth. And it's very important that we get his truth in every situation, because his truth is completely true, for lack of a better way to say it. Speaking the truth, notice it says in love. This is also very simple. 1 John 4:8 says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." But how do we speak the truth in love? We know God, we know his word. And if we will speak that, then we will be speaking the truth in love. And we will grow up into the head, which is Christ. So some of you, God has exposed some things in you today. And some of you, this is going to be very strong, but I'm just going to say it. Some of you are running out of chances to repent because God has already spoken to you. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord will not always strive with man. We need to be very careful when we assume that we can walk out and that he will give us another chance. Because we might not ever have another chance. Because when our heart becomes hardened, we can't hear what God is saying to us anymore. And that's dangerous. The fear of the Lord, the Bible says, is the beginning of knowledge. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter how much knowledge you have. If you don't have the fear of the Lord, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Any knowledge that we have without the fear of the Lord is not doing us any good, because knowledge without revelation that comes from the Spirit is not going to reveal anything to us. But in order to have revelation from the Spirit, then we have to fear God. And when we fear him, that is the beginning of the knowledge that he begins to teach us. That not based on man's wisdom, but based on his wisdom, based on his truth. And so I want to close with this verse, Luke chapter 12. We're going to read the three verses before what we read earlier. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Jesus had the most problems with religious people. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid. We need to come before God with a fear of him, understanding that he hears everything that we have ever said, that he hears every thought that we have ever had, but that he knows even deeper than we do sometimes. God has to expose things to us, because the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And in our heart, and I many times say to God, God, search my heart. Show me if there is any flesh hindering me from seeing the reality. God, move it out of the way. Help me to crucify it, because I do not want to lie to myself. And I know that it can happen, because the Bible says that if we are hearers but not doers, we will deceive ourselves. It is a given. It is not a question of if. It is a decision. It is going to happen. We will deceive ourselves if we don't do what we have heard. So we have to be honest with God. We have to come to him in repentance, and we have to deal with the root that he's showing us. We have to not blame other people. We have to not cover it up, or we won't have mercy. I wonder if when God came to Eve and Adam, if Eve had looked at God and she said, God, I don't know why, or I do know why. You know what? The fruit just looked really good, and I knew what you said. But the serpent told me, and I listened to him. God, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I shouldn't have done that. I wonder how things could have been different. But she didn't. She said, well, Eve gave it to me. And Eve said, well, the serpent gave it to me. If we would respond with confession and forsaking, the Bible says we will have mercy. See, we think the opposite is true. We think, I can't tell God. Like, I'm going to feel so guilty, or God's going to judge me. You know what? I would rather have him judge me now than judge me then. So, repentance is the best way to God exposing roots in our lives, and the only thing that will bring what we need. That's the third one. There's cover, there's blame, there's repentance. Repentance is the only one. But I will tell you this, if we don't repent, generally we will get angry. Because we begin then to push what God is revealing on the inside and begin to push it outside. And so we are going to play. There's a song that the Lord brought to my mind. I don't even remember when I've heard it. But this morning as I was preparing, God brought this song to my mind. And I just want to challenge you. As I said, I'm not interested in people making an emotional decision. I don't need to check off on a card. It's not about telling, you know, the world how many people have been saved at Hidden Treasures, although I want hundreds of people to be saved. Why? Because they're lost and dying and going to hell if they're not right with God. So I do want people to be saved. But look, only God knows what's in your heart and the things that he has exposed to you today. But you have a choice as to what you do with it. And so I challenge you to take what God has shown you and do something with it. So as this song plays, if you need prayer, I've asked the Browns, they're going to come up because Rick is not here. And I'll ask anybody else from our prayer team that comes on Tuesday night if they would like to come and pray with people. But if you don't want to pray with anybody, you know, I don't need anybody to pray for me. I just need to repent. I need to get along with God. There's nothing wrong with that. The altar is open. You can come and you can be honest with God because he already knows anyway. You might as well just lay it out. But come with the understanding that he will expect change from you. He will strengthen you to make those changes, but he does expect you to change.